Hello, I'm Dutch.
And this is the I Found It on Reddit short stories podcast, where I will be reading to you my favorite short stories that I find on Reddit. Today, I'm actually going to be interviewing an author from Reddit. You've heard stories from him before. If you have been on my YouTube channel, you may have seen my narration of his short scary story PT. And on the podcast, we read the story Cuttlefish. I'll leave a link in the description for that. So, let's get started. Let's go.
Welcome to the I Found It on Reddit short stories podcast, Tress.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, man. Welcome. You're here. You made it.
Yep. Now you're gonna ask me questions that I'm going to have a real hard time answering. I just can't wait.
No, you're not.
I'm not a big-time writer. You got to understand. And a lot of the stuff I wrote at the beginning was, you know, I think technically you could call it porn, although I've had people call it smut. And I guess best case, I could call it erotica. And mostly they want to ask questions that make me feel dirty to answer. I don't get quite so many questions about the horror or, you know, science fiction.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, I wasn't sure I was going to admit that. And look, here we are.
Yeah, right?
Already.
I mean, they're going to see.
Yeah, well, okay.
They're going to click on your subreddit?
it's possible if you give out my real name.
You haven't, right?
My Reddit name. I know you're gonna do it. I know. So anyway, let's move on, and hopefully we'll get enough down here that everybody will forget what I just said.
I'll edit that out.
Oh, you don't have to. I mean, I don't care.
I feel like you care.
I really don't. I mean, I wouldn't have done it if I really cared. Mm. You know. Mm.
So we'll focus on horror.
Yes, okay, horror, and you know, science fiction too, I guess, because I noticed in the intro to Cuttlefish, you said it's not what you really do, it's more science fiction, and I agree with you. You know, I did post it on the horror subreddit. I think it was Short Scary Stories. Mm-hmm. Is that where you found it?
I found Cuttlefish on Library of Shadows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think I put it there, and it was a little bit longer there too, because I have a lot of trouble fitting in short scary stories.
Yeah, getting the word count down to 500.
You know, it always seems like I just want to be a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is I've gotten most of my karma and awards from two sentences.
And it's always so surprising, isn't it? Because you're just like, yeah, I'm just going to toss this out there. And then it ends up,
huge.
Huge. You're like over 20,000.
Right. And I got like 280 awards for one. That literally, from the time I thought of it to the time it's like, oh, wouldn't that be funny? And I wrote it out. And like 10 minutes later, it's out there. And man, it took over my life for the next day. Because I, you know, everybody who gave me an award, I want to thank them. Mm-hmm. And the alerts were coming in. Like, I'm like, thank you so much for your beep, beep, beep. There's three more.
Oh,
you
wow. Know?
So it just took forever.
Do you think of writing differently?
Do I think of writing differently?
Yes. After you post a two-sentence horror story where you didn't really put that much thought into it, do you...
Oh, should I do that all the time? No, I don't. Just because, you know, I'm a software engineer. I mean, I'm not sure you do know that, but I'm a software engineer. And if you're writing like a little, you know, like a little screen hack or something, you really don't have to be that careful with it because it's all there. You know, if it's 10 lines or 50 lines or 100 lines of code, it's not so complicated that it needs to be well-structured to make the work. And to make sense. But if you're writing a system or anything, you know, anything substantial with any kind of complexity to it. You have to go to a lot of trouble to make sure everything's well organized. And, you know, you have to name your variables with meaningful names so that when somebody wants to change a year from now, you can go in and figure it out again. And I kind of see an analogy between writing, you know, software and writing stories. I mean, a big story takes some organization. Hmm. I mean, if only for the writing of it. Maybe it doesn't need to be organized for the reader, but in my case, it does take some organization. I've been actually trying to work on a sequel to Cuttlefish, and I just can't get it organized right.
What's the hurdle that you're dealing with?
It's kind of hard to explain. Well, there's several. I mean, I just haven't been writing so much lately. Different things have come up. I've been busy. And then also, and this is just embarrassing to admit, but like if I could write something in 10 minutes and get 15,000 karma, you know, or I could work on it for a week and get 300 karma, I was like, why would I even bother? They don't appreciate me, you know. The hurdle is I couldn't come up with anything that fit like beginning and end. I mean, I could do something. I started a few times and I have words I put down, but they don't thrill me. And it turns out what I'm working on now actually started off with something entirely different. And I really like it, but it's like, well, where's it going? I don't understand why, you know. There's a, like, I came up with a scenario first, but I don't really understand why that scenario occurred. And I said, well, what if it was the cephalopod that the reason? And then it started making sense. So I'm still trying to organize that in my mind. I usually have a fairly decent enough idea of where I'm going, which doesn't usually last after I start writing, but at least it gives me a start.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I don't know, hopefully I can do something with it. At least I can finish the current thing, even if it doesn't have a strong connection to Cuttlefish at the end.
It's a really good story. I really liked it.
The
Cuttlefish. Yeah. Yeah, Cuttlefish was really, really good. You're so modest. I don't even think you really...
Hey, I'm not sure if you want this in this interview, but have you come across anything interesting from my other friend that you appointed you at? Phoenix?
Yeah, I found... I did three stories for her. I did My Lament, I did The Box, and I did On the Path to Forgetting. And
you know, The Box reminded me of Stephen King so much.
Did it? How so?
Yeah, he wrote a story a lot like that. And also, you know, I would say Gene Wolfe. They've both written stories where there's like some artifact that that is mysterious and, you know, hard to explain. Did you ever see Creepshow?
Yes.
Okay, remember the one where their box comes in and they put it under the stairs at the, I don't know if it's a university or museum. I haven't seen it in years. But, and the guy has a shrew of a wife and he gets her to look into it and the thing pulls her in.
Yes, it was in like a mansion. They were really rich people.
I think that was another episode, but God knows. I mean, I think I saw it like right after it hit TV. So it might've been 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It might've been longer.
I saw it on a huge, one of those big discs. I can't even.
Oh, like a laser disc?
Yes!
Why would you even put that on there, though? You know, like a laser disc was like, oh, I'm going to watch Citizen Kane on laser disc. You know? It's like, great. Now I'm going to watch this cheesy, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me.
That was where it was. That's how we saw it.
Well, if you had one of those, you must be a cinephile.
No, I was just young. That was just what I was bought into.
I see. Well, I guess I can see why you got to where you are. Now I'm interviewing you. Ha!
Yeah, the tables have turned. I had so many nightmares about that movie, about that show.
Really?
Yeah, especially the one with the roaches. That it just...
Oh, yeah, that was not good.
Ruined me, yeah.
I'm from New Orleans, and they have those everywhere. I mean, everywhere. If you go a day without seeing four or five, you can consider that a lucky day.
No.
And you know, once you go for them, they come for you. Like, no kidding. You see one crying on the wall, and you try to swat it, it'll start flying at you. You know?
Well,
you know what? That's an idea for a short, scary story. I need to keep that in mind. I never thought about writing about it because that's always scared me.
Oh my gosh.
When I was a kid, I was crawling up in our attic for some reason. I don't remember why. And I came out and I'd been wearing like a long sleeve shirt. Mm. And I don't know, I guess I was like four or five because my memories are very unclear. But there was something like irritating my arm. And I kept kind of scratching it and scratching it. And then I finally pulled my sleeve up, and there was one of those like 2 or 3 inch roaches under my sleeve. And it was fine. Like all the scratching I did, it was like, pfft, you know, it didn't care. But when I pulled my sleeve up, it was there. And then it jumped at my face.
And, oh, no.
Back then, I had the voice to scream like a girl. And I did because my mom came running. She was, what's the matter? You know, she thought I died or something. I was like, it's a roach. And she's like, you little. I mean, she wasn't like that, but I mean, she should have been.
I mean, the way you screamed, I would have ran up there and been like, there should be someone robbing you or trying to kidnap you, but it was a roach.
Yeah, it was a roach. But I mean, it was a big mother. I mean, a big sucker. I'm sorry, I don't want to make your podcast X-rated or anything.
Just having you on makes it X-rated, Trez.
Oh, okay. Now, I think that's not an insult. That's a compliment.
I think so.
Okay.
I would just have to get an arm replacement. That's the only way I could survive after doing
okay,
that.
Okay, you've ruined this arm. All right, next.
You ruined it.
That's funny.
Well, that's the end of our episode. Thanks for watching. No, I can't. I can't even think straight. I can't stop rubbing my arm now. That is
you.
It.
Oh, really? I messed you up. I did. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You're gonna leave all that in? I mean, it.
Yep.
Probably the funniest it's gonna get. Well, I know we talked. Well, we didn't talk, but we sent some messages to each other about some of the questions you might ask. Mm-hmm. So if you can't get your shit together, I can start reading them.
Oh, you are classic. I love it. No, I am fine. I am a professional.
Okay. Yes, I snorted.
I have that effect on people. Okay. So, you were telling me about with Cuttlefish how you're trying to move into a part two for it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of the problem too, because what I have right now is like, you know, I killed my protagonist in Cuttlefish.
Right.
And another thing is, if I were going to write a bunch of stories, or God forbid, a novel, I mean, I'd love to do it, but, you know, it's just impossible to get published. You know, and
it's not
self-published. What's that?
Oh, to self-publish, yes, but
well, I could self-publish. That's easy, but then
right.
To me, that always seemed kind of like, you know, like crackpot. You know, yeah, you should read my book about the Illuminati and how they're controlling the world banking system. You know, that kind of thing.
You say that now, I think you'll probably change your mind.
Okay,
I don't know any writer on Reddit that hasn't published self-published themselves so far. I know three.
I mean, I've come across a few that seem really good. In fact, I suspect, you know, considerably better than me. I mean, I'm probably my own worst critic.
Mm.
You know, because I see everything I did wrong with everything I write.
Right.
In fact, it's hard for me to stop writing, even after I've published on Reddit. It's like, you know, I could have made that better. I did that with Cuttlefish for you. I was like, okay, well, do you need to publish the one that I put there, or can I make some changes before you, you know, before you do it?
By all means.
And I've still changed it more. I was like, can you take down that old one? I'm not going to ask you to do that, but.
That's... yeah, that's not going to happen. Come on, Travis.
Yeah, I know it's not. I know it's not. I'm there. I'm just saying.
So what are you changing about it now?
Oh, like, no, I don't want to get into it.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it's just take too long. I realized after your reading, I realized there were some things I hadn't made clear. Mm. So I wanted to make them clear, which would then affect your reading. But I mean, who cares? It's not a big deal. It's just a short little story.
It's becoming a big deal, isn't it, Mr. Part Two?
Oh, maybe. But that's another thing. I mean, it's not really part two because it's almost like, oh, I mean, I'm trying to think of an example, but like, you know, there'll be like a book that has a bunch of different stories all related to something similar. Like you've seen, sometimes they'll do something like, I think I saw something that might have been called Return to the King, but it was a bunch of short stories written in Tolkien's Middle Earth. But they weren't related to each other. Like you couldn't say the first story was part one, the second story was part two.
Right.
They were just stories put in that universe.
Yes.
And the thing I'm working on right now is more along that line, those lines.
And that's fine.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. I just wanted to correct the part two part. And that's another one of my issues, because let's say it were to be a novel. Well, I'd want there to be a mystery about the invaders, you know, before we have a guy getting an exposition dump from an invader.
Yeah.
So, you know, how would I structure that? And is that as interesting? I haven't made a story out of that yet because I don't find it all that interesting. At the beginning, there's mystery, but I mean, it's really just going to be an alien invasion. And we have seen that. You know, what I found interesting about Cuttlefishes, the invaders are octopuses, you know. It's like, okay, now there we go.
I can't even imagine how weird that must be to take a story where you expected nothing else to happen. Like, this is just a post wherever, and you know, hopefully it does well, and then you end up weeks later or whatever, or days later, and people are like, I want a part two, and then you have to like backtrack and think of all this other stuff that maybe you didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
oh, gosh. And
it's a good feeling, but I don't know. I mean, it's. I don't know. Like I always feel bad. It's like, oh, am I writing for, you know, praise or acclaim? It's like, do I have something to say, or do I just want people to suck my weenie? You know?
But I thought you were trying to learn to write gooder.
Yeah, I am. I am. You know, another thing is I haven't been reading much lately. And reading really helps you with your writing. You know, I mean, I think it's required. You can't write if you don't read.
Right.
And I generally prefer a paper book to a ebook. And I don't know, my library may be open now, but I mean, I used to go to the library like 2 or 3 times a week, pick up 10 or 20 books, and, you know, just get more every time I went back.
You read that fast?
What's that?
You read that fast?
Oh, no, not necessarily. I just pick up a whole bunch and read the ones I wanted to read, take back the ones I didn't want to read. The local public library system, they have no late fees. As long as you get them back, eventually they're fine with it.
Oh, cool.
If you never get them back, they want you to replace them. But, so no, I would just have a whole bunch of their books around. I still have a few of their books around that I just haven't bothered to take back because they're not open. So who cares? But they may be open now. So I need to look into that, but I need to be reading more. That's the fact. And who wants to, you know, I mean, I don't buy paperbacks anymore because they just seem pretty pricey and it's like a gamble.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I go to the library and get everything I want. If they don't have it, they'll get me one.
That's true.
So, no, I really like the library system. Well, when I used to do a lot of traveling, you know, a lot of driving, long commutes, I would always have audible books for the car. Because, I mean, to me, that's ideal. Like, I like music. I like dancing. But if I'm driving a long ways, music isn't going to cut it. I need, you know, I need a book. I need a story, you know, something to get my mind engaged. Music is, might get my limbic system engaged, but it's not really doing much for the cerebellum.
When I was younger, my family would play Lemony Snicket, Tale of Unfortunate Events.
Oh, yeah.
During our road trips.
They made a version of that with Neil Patrick Harris, right?
Yeah, and there was, I think, a movie with Jim Carrey, but no, just the books.
No, I know. Well, right, when you were younger, I would assume. But yeah, I saw some of the movie. I mean, I love Neil Patrick Harris. He's the best.
I think Jim Carrey was better as Count Olaf.
Oh, yeah, I might have seen some of that too. Oh, he did a voice on the book?
Oh, wow. What's his name? Curry? Space. What's that guy? Tim Curry, I think.
Oh, Tim Curry.
Yeah, he was great. In Home Alone.
Yeah, well, he was, you know, he was also Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes.
What was this?
Yes, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I was talking to Susan, and she's looking at me like I'm an idiot. Huh? What are you talking to me for? You're on a podcast.
She can't hear my side of the conversation.
True enough.
She doesn't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you know what else he was good in? I don't know if anybody's going to want to listen to this, but there was a series with Ken Wall called Wise Guy. Like, I'm dating myself because this is really old, but Tim Curry had a pretty good part on it. He was like kind of a bad guy, and Ken Wall was like an undercover FBI guy. And I think in this season he was in the music business, and he had Tim Curry was in the music business, and he had an arch nemesis. And when the arch nemesis died, he had promised him he would dance on his grave. So he went to dance on the grave, and he starts dancing around. And the guy who was dead had set up a booby trap so that when he was dancing on the grave, like something like kind of popped and sprayed shit all over him. It was hilarious. Tim Curry's great.
He's amazing. He's an amazing voice actor.
Yeah, I think in season one or maybe season two, what's his name was on it? He's disgraced now, but the guy who played. He played like the killer in Seven.
Oh, Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, Seven. Who, you know,
right?
He whose name may not be spoken now, but he was, you know, he started off, I think, on Wise Guy.
I don't know this show.
I'm just recommending it to people that, you know, don't mind watching old shit.
Run out of things on Netflix?
Oh yeah, you know, I let Netflix go. It's like I'm kind of doing like a, like I don't need 20 channels, but they have 20. So like right now I've got Amazon Prime. I've got Disney, which I'm letting expire because I've seen it all. Mm. You know, I'll come back next year when they have more Mandalorian. I've been watching The Mick. Kristen Olsen from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, the sister?
What's that?
The sister they always call a bird?
I think her name was Dee.
Dee, yeah.
Sunny, yeah. But she's in this other show where, like, her sister, who's super rich, is having a party, and she shows up, and then the FBI show up, and because they're arresting them for tax fraud, and they flee the country, and now she's stuck with the kids that are real brats, and she's... It's just, you gotta watch it. It's you know, it's... She's playing almost a very similar character to Dee. Like, she's got no morals. She's, you know, she's, you'll just have to watch it. The reason I'm laughing about it is I watched a couple last night. so funny.
You're a good writer.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm saying it like that because every time I give you a compliment about your writing, you're like, ah, I'm all right.
Well, I mean, and that's kind of how I feel. You know, I mean, there are people that just blow me away. And I just like, I'll read something they write and I'm just like, oh man, it almost makes me want to stop because I know I'll never be that good. Gene Wolfe is one of those writers. Neal Stephenson, although technically I can see where I could improve some of the stuff he writes, but he's just got such a great mind and such great ideas. Jack Vance, you know, these are all science fiction guys, kind of. I gotta think of people I like that aren't science fiction writers. John Sanford, wonderful writer, and he writes like it's the easiest thing in the world, you know. He comes by it honestly, I guess, because he was a journalist before he became a writer. But he writes like a new novel every, God, I want to say like every 8 or 9 months. And I used to think, oh, well, if you write like that, you got to suck. You know, that's just too much writing. But he just it's just so effortless. You know, he's a good, quick read. You always know what he's trying to explain. There's some writers you try to read and it's like, wait, what is he saying happened here? I don't quite get it. You never get that with Sanford. In fact, Sanford kind of reminds me of Hemingway in a sense, in that Hemingway didn't use a lot of words, but, you know, he always used the right words. And things were really clear what was going on.
You have a lot of writers that you admire, but you don't feel that you could adapt any of their techniques into your own writing?
Oh, I definitely do. I try to write, I was going to say like Hemingway, but it's really more like I try to write like people that write like Hemingway. And in the sense of just like, just don't get flowery, don't embellish too much. Just the facts, man. I'll tell you who's really good at that, Joe Haldeman. He, in fact, the impetus for the story I'm writing right now, what we were calling Chapter 2 of Cuttlefish, is based on his first published novel, as far as I know, called The Forever War. I think it's from the 70s, and it's you know, it's science fiction, but Joe Haldeman was a soldier in Vietnam, and he got injured and stuff, but the story is like it's a Vietnam War metaphor. And what I'm doing right now is kind of a war story in a sense. It's got its own ideas, but I'm, you know, it kind of led me into that story. I was thinking about the Forever War. But once I started writing it, I started thinking about the Forever War. So, yes, I do try to emulate certain writers. But then there's writers like Gene Wolfe, and I could never emulate him. He's just way smarter than I'll ever be.
What is your ritual? Do you have a ritual when you write?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if I have the animals, I'll do the sacrifice. But, and you know, I don't really have a ritual.
Feel inspired? Just sit down and type.
Yeah, it's just... It's funny because I went through, like, right after the quarantine, I went through just a huge spate of inspiration. And I'm not really sure why, because I haven't felt that way since, but I would just be sitting there thinking of things and just couldn't wait to write them down. And I haven't felt that way lately, but I'm trying to get back to it.
I love that feeling.
Yeah. Well, you're a creator too.
Yes. I mean, a part of me feels like I'll never get to you and Phoenix's level, but...
Well, you see, that's how I feel. I mean...
But I feel like I could, if I just practice more...
Yeah.
Some people are just freaking geniuses at that mess, but I feel like I could improve my writing more if I if I wrote more.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's pretty much true with anything. But I'm trying to, I know I read one of your stories, and I'm, forgive me for forgetting what it was. It was on Reddit, and I believe it was horror.
Yeah.
I just haven't read it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I posted a few on Reddit.
Yeah, but I think we talked about this one.
Oh, it was gross?
Was it gross? I can't remember.
Most likely it was gross.
Oh, did you have roaches in it?
No. I wouldn't write about roaches because then I wouldn't be able to type.
Okay. I'll make sure I keep the roaches out in case I ever want to have you read one of my stories on YouTube again.
I mean, you know, it's whatever. Hard to reach, maybe?
I don't know. I'll find out. I'm sorry. I should have done it before we started this today. I kept meaning to do some prep, you know. And then I was like, but if I do preparation, it's going to sound like it's rehearsed. And I don't know. Anyway, and I'm also lazy as hell. So I just didn't do anything. It was like, I'll just wing it.
Let's be honest. We we did not feel like preparing.
I didn't feel like preparing. Okay, you got me.
Yeah. Judgment-free zone? You're safe here.
Safe place.
It's a safe place. You have an amazing talent for writing for women. Like, if you have a female character in your story, I feel like you are not a dude. I feel like you're able to portray, how do I put it? Like, you can write women characters really well.
Well, I mean, I actually try. You know, there's a subreddit, something like, God, I haven't been there in a while because every time I'd say something, I would just get trash. You know, it was like something about what men think women are, how men write women.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and clearly there's some political aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really quite understand the politics and don't particularly care to learn them. But I would say, well, you know, I'd come up with what I thought was a very reasonable statement about something or another. It's like, oh, you're a typical man. You don't understand women at all. I'm like, bye-bye.
Bye. Was it a story you posted? Go ahead.
It's just, and I don't know the details of the story, but somebody that knew Hemingway, and it may have been someone he dated or, you know, had a relationship with, but said something about one of his stories that it was something along the lines of, the woman parts are very well written. Too well written, if you understand what I mean. And and I remember thinking, oh my God, do I come across that way? Because, you know, there's nothing wrong with being gay or transgendered. There's nothing wrong at all, but I don't want people to think I am when I'm not.
No one thinks that. I don't think that.
Yeah. Well, that's because, you know, when we first started talking, I tried to hit on you.
No.
Okay. I'm joking, actually. I never did.
That's
okay. Just tell the audience that never happened. I'm not that kind of guy.
That's not what I mean. I mean, because you're not.
But you have such a wonderful voice.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You have a distinct voice, too.
Yeah, well, that's years of smoking.
It is what it is, man.
Yeah.
You are who you are. What was it like for you narrating for the first time?
Well, I mean, you know, we had trouble with the sound quality.
Yes.
And the other thing, I mean, I've done some acting. You know, I've been in a few plays back home, back in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's different when you're working with other people. Like, because we were basically doing line readings. Like, you do your line, I do my line several times. Make sure we get a good take. It's different from being in a play.
Of course.
In a play, you can be more of a method actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it hard to do that just doing line readings. But, I mean, I thought it was fun, you know. I thought it was interesting.
Because you didn't, we had to take it a different way. Usually, if you have two people who are narrating a story, the person can just record their lines and then send it to the other person. They record their lines and that person just combines it. But
sure. Just like they make animated movies. I mean, usually it's like one person in a sound booth.
Yes. Yeah. But for your, in your case, it had to be, I don't know. I guess it also depends on who you're working with. Because some people are like, yeah, I don't care, man. Just record what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I don't care that much either. It's just, I don't know. I found that different from what I had done before.
Right. My point was that there's different types of methods for narrating and there's different types of narrators. People who are like, no, let's say it back and forth. Let's go through this like we're actually together. Let's not record two separately and put them together. And others.
Well, no, I that would be my preference every time. And, you do Let's Plays. I'm not sure. Have you ever played The Last of Us?
No.
Unlike a lot of game developers, they don't do the sound booth thing, you know? They put people in mocap suits in a set, and it's a grid set. It's not like they have, like, real trees and stuff. But they act together and react to each other. Mm. And, in fact, you can see on the internet how they made, like, The Last of Us. And, you know, the results are amazing. Just off awesome.
I agree. You get different results when you read it back and forth as opposed to, you know, two separate people submitting an audio. Yes.
Sure, because I mean whoever you're working with too.
Yes.
Their reading should inform your reading.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. And you can't do that if you're sending, you know, sound bites back and forth.
Yeah, I understand that. My experience with that has been I give different variations of my reading and just have them just work off that. If whatever they're reading, whatever goes the best with what I say, and then just put whatever version inside their story. But
okay, so you're kind of doing it in a structured way.
Structured?
I mean, you're not like reacting on the spot. Like, you know, your fellow actor says something in a certain way and you let yourself respond to the way they just said it. You're kind of structuring the relationship, I guess, between the roles. I'm not sure if I can make sense of this. But if you make several copies of your reading and then match it to their reading, that's a structure that you don't normally have when you're doing real-time reaction to another actor.
Yeah. I completely agree. I would rather have it where we were both together.
That's, oh, yeah.
Definitely
be better.
It's worked out, though. Either way, it's still worked out. I can give maybe three different ways of reading one line and then they'll just be like, that's the one I like. I'm going to put that in there. and it just works out fine.
Well, I remember I think it was called Bedtime Story. You had me do the voice of, I don't know what to call him, you know,
creepy
the
dude.
Murderer.
Right.
The
yeah. Yeah.
And I was trying different things. I could tell they weren't fitting. And, oh, it's funny because I remember seeing an interview with Troy Baker from The Last of Us, actually, and he was talking about it. And one of the actors in that game is, who's the other guy? Nolan North.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to find a voice for his character. And apparently it wasn't working out, or maybe I got that wrong. But at one point, Nolan North says, well, I've got this voice I can do. It's kind of different. You want to hear it. And then he does that high pitch voice, you know, kind of like I was doing it. Bedtime story. And as soon as I started using it, I knew it was creepy as fuck.
Yeah. You
know? But I just thought of it on the fly from thinking of him doing that. And as soon as I did it, you're like, that'll work, which was kind of fun.
Your voice is so distinct that it's kind of hard to imagine you even doing that. Like, you know what I mean? I hope you don't get typecast into like villain roles where
I don't care. I mean, it's not like I'm going anywhere with it. I'm just having fun.
Yeah. But I thought that was cool.
I mean, you wouldn't typecast me as a villain. You're the only one who I act for anyway. So there we go.
I needed to push you around a little bit. Not like a bully, but I needed to push you to see what you were capable of doing with your voice.
You mean for bedtime story?
For bedtime story, and then for PT.
Oh, yeah, PT. I mean, I remember doing multiple takes, but I know a lot of them were because of the sound quality.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I had a, like, going into that, I had a, and I'm not sure if I succeeded at all, but I had an idea about this guy. You know, he's on probably antipsychotic medication.
Mm-hmm.
He can't really sleep because of the nightmares in his head. I wanted him to be tired, you know, just tired. Tired of everything and basically more or less hopeless. And maybe even a little pissed off at the doctors because they won't believe him. And he's like, fine, you want to hear what's going on? It's going to wreck your life, but mm-hmm. you go right ahead. But, you know, I had written him that way. So I knew who he was.
Where was he born? Like, where did you get him as a character from?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a trope, but we've all seen, like, the guy in the movie or the guy in the story who knows the truth and nobody will believe him.
Mm.
You know, like, Bruce Willis in 12 Monkeys. I'm trying to think of another one, but I mean, it is kind of a trope, you know. Why won't anybody believe me? There's a monster in the cellar.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah.
And I wanted him to be past that point. He's already told everybody about the monster in the cellar and nobody believes him, and now he's just fed up. It's like, fine, don't believe me. I know what you think. I can't change your mind, so, you know, bugger off.
Very cool. You saw one of those videos where the guy goes, like, behind, sort of, like, breaks the code in PT and is able to just roam around and do whatever he wants in it, and that gave you the inspiration for it?
Yeah, it actually is. Yeah, it wasn't a video, actually. It was just, I think it was on, might have been GameSpot or something like that. Did I ever send you the link to that?
You did?
Yeah. So that's what I saw, whatever that link was. And that story almost wrote itself because I thought, well, what if that really happened? Because I've never played that game, by the way, PT,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's legendary and being so damn scary.
Yeah.
It's not even a full game. It's just a playable teaser is what the PT stands for.
Right.
And people are just so terrified. And people are like, you know, why did they cancel it?
You created the patient first, and then you saw the PT interview, or no. Was it the other way?
No, it started from the thing. It's like, oh, man, that game was so scary, and they have this thing that you never even find out about unless you break the game.
Yeah.
That Lisa is following you, you know, all the time. Once you get the flashlight, she's always there. And, and I thought, that is creepy AF. and then, you know, people, like, every time you hear about it, it's like, why did why did they cancel the game? And I said, well, what if they didn't cancel it because they wanted to get rid of Hideo Kojima? What if they canceled it because it had weird, real effects on people?
Yeah. It affected me.
What's that?
It affected me.
Did it?
Yeah, that game sucked. Yeah, that game was scary. It sucked. I didn't even play it. I just watched someone play it, and it was just like, no, these lights are going to stay on for a bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right? I mean, you open, there's a baby thing in the bathroom sink, and and then you have to go down the hallway where Lisa's waiting for you.
The tension is ridiculous. No, thank you. No.
Yeah, I mean, I saw you had you hit your 300 subscriber mark, which is good. I mean, you kind of branched out, right? I mean, you're doing more things than you used to.
Am I? I'm doing the podcast now. Is that what you mean, or?
Well, it might just be that I found your stuff because I started off looking at your short, scary stories, and then I saw some playthroughs, and I saw you had played Journey. And I was like, oh, yeah, I love that game. Before my PlayStation broke, I used to, you know, play it a lot. And then I watched you play it. It drove me crazy.
I have that effect on people. I should not do gameplays. Doing gameplays live gives me anxiety because
I pretty much do all my YouTubing on, you know, on a streaming television. So I can't access comments from there.
Oh.
If I want to leave a comment or read comments, I have to like start the YouTube app on my phone, and I'll do it sometimes, but it's rare. Well, comments help the algorithm too, from what I understand.
Do they?
Yeah, apparently like the more comments, the more promotion you get. That's why you'll always see like people is like, please share, you know, like, comment, and subscribe. It's like all three of those will help promote them.
I didn't know that. Wow, that's good to know.
Yeah. Well, every time I come across one of yours, I just send it a like. Shh, YouTube. I'm just joking. I don't try to game the system.
Oh my goodness.
Just trying to get her to do more of my stuff. You have a wonderful laugh.
You're a con. I don't.
I don't think you're taking it super seriously though. At this point, are you?
No.
I mean, you're in college.
Yeah.
I mean, school. I don't know. If it's college. Could be grad school.
Yeah, college.
Could be astronaut school.
Could be.
It's not, but I mean, it could be.
It definitely could.
Yeah. Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah. No, if I was taking it seriously, I would be very stressed out. I would not sleep. And I would be killing myself to post something every single day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah. And you could too. I mean, because I don't know what the acceptance rate is. Like when you ask somebody if you can put one of their stories on YouTube, I mean, what percentage of people say yes?
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay. Well, I don't know the answer. So if one of us is going to answer it, it's going to have to be you.
So I sent a... I started digging in yesterday into Reddit again because I was able to get more YouTube narrators to collab with me. And so, you know, I had to dig back in to see if I can find a story that has a guy in it.
I gotcha.
So I sent out Oh my gosh, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I sent out 5 today. I sent out 5 today.
Request.
I'm not expecting a right. I'm not expecting a response back today.
Right. Well, I've had like 3 other people request to do cuttlefish, and I just send them a link to yours. I was like, yeah, sorry, it's already been done. Here's your link. And you did a better job than most of them would have done. Because whenever somebody requests, I'm going to look at what they've already done. And and like I said, I think I've had 4, and 3 of them got back. Said, oh, she's, yeah, you were right. She's better than me. And yeah, and then the other one, I think he just got pissed off. Well, fuck you then, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, ooh. Didn't mean to drop a... No, I mean, they didn't say that. They just ghosted me after that. So sorry to drop the F-bomb in the middle of your podcast.
I don't know. I think it actually kind of cut off close to reception.
Somebody's looking out for you.
Yeah. One less F to bleep out.
Right.
I'm completely honored. That blows my mind.
Well, I mean, I thought you did a great job with cuttlefish, and PT as well. You know, you clearly know how to find stock footage. I remember, like PT is like, oh yeah, she found stock footage of a guy in the hospital with a, you know, being examined. And it's like, yeah, but that's pretty specific to look for. But what's he going to do when it's like, you know, it's intelligent cephalopods trying to kill somebody? But you did it, you know. It came up. It's like, oh, she did find something for that. I don't even know how you would search for that.
Cuttlefish.
That was it, just that one word. Oh gee, I was thinking you were all smart and clever and stuff. And
well, it took a genius to type it, so.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's funny.
Yeah.
Cuttlefish.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I mean, it wasn't just cuttlefish in your story. There were squid and there were.
Yeah, no, I know.
Octopi.
I just picked that name because I'm really bad with titles. You know, really bad. Mm-hmm. I just picked something that might work. Like the story I'm writing right now, the working title is A Girl and Her Dog. And, well, you'll see it. You'll see it as soon as anybody does. You'll be on the list if I ever get it done. But, you know, and then I'm like, but is that good? Because, it sounds like I'm trying to, like, make it sound similar to the Harlan Ellison story, you know, A Boy and His Dog. But it's really not like that, except that she has a really smart dog, you know, and it's kind of I don't want to get too much into it, but I don't know. Then, you know, I double think and then I just come up with just something. It's like, good enough. People won't know what it means.
Do you save the title for last?
Usually before I post, it's the last thing I write. Mm-hmm. Until I read what I posted, realize I hate it, and start writing edits. That's the last thing I write is edits.
That's the great thing about Reddit.
Yeah.
How you can repost the same story over again.
Yeah, definitely.
In different on different subreddits, not the same one.
Well, I'll just, I know I shouldn't admit this, but I'll just go ahead and change some words. I mean, generally, I'll put a, like an edit notice if I change like the sense of something. But if I see a typo or missing a comma or something, I'll just change that. It's like, they don't need to know I did that. Come on, it's just going to break things up. You know?
I wish I can go in. Not that I wish I can. I really could. I could just go back and rewrite.
Oh, you could do a full
something
repost
that I've posted. Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely could do that. I don't, just because it doesn't seem fair, especially since if it's got like likes and whatnot. It's like, it's not really fair to change what they indicated they like, because maybe they won't like it now, you know, and it's it's kind of not, I don't have permission to say they like the new one.
Oh, no, I don't mean like the same post, edit it, and then like change everything.
Well, you
I mean,
can, though. You absolutely
but
can.
But I wouldn't do that.
No.
That's not, yeah, I agree. That doesn't seem fair.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you meant then. What is the good thing about Reddit?
That you can take your story. Let's say you posted Cuttlefish, but then you were like, yeah, I think I want to do this differently. Something, maybe let's make it jaguars or killer chickens. I don't know. And then I'm a genius.
Posted to a different sub.
Yeah, and then rewrite it and post it to a different sub that way. Not just...
not just repost it to the same sub.
Yeah, don't just update, edit and update it. That's just...
I'm going to trick people into liking this version, and then I'm going to send out the crap version.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, then you have to rub your hands together like a Bond villain.
Yeah, you got to. You got to.
Or else pet your white Persian cat.
Gotta find one. And then
that's right.
All right, Chaz. Well, it's been so fun having you on.
Well, I appreciate you having me. It's always good to talk to you.
Yeah. Man, you keep me grounded in a sense.
I have never been accused of that before. I deny everything and demand proof.
I can't wait to see your girl and her dog story. Stay focused.
You'll be seriously. You and Garnet will probably be the first two to get copies.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, man, keep up the good work, and thank you so much for helping me out with the stories. You're effortless at it. You're so good.
Well, trust me, there's effort that you're not seeing, but I do appreciate the compliment.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you for joining us on the I Found It on Reddit Short Stories podcast. I'm Dodge, and I will catch you on the next page.